I'm going to be reading this morning from I'll tell you as soon as I find out. Oh, yeah. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. The Sermon on the Mount. More of Jesus' teaching on how Christians should live. So we'll start by reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I didn't realize this, but most revolutionary leaders sever all ties with the past and repudiate the traditional existing order because they want their own order. Not so the Lord Jesus. Jesus upheld the law of Moses and said that he came to fulfill it, not abolish it. Verse 18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The jot or yod in Hebrew that Jesus was talking about is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The tittle is a small stroke distinguishing one letter from another. It's like the small stroke at the bottom of a capital E that distinguishes it from the letter F, the capital letter F. Jesus believed in the literal inspiration and truth of the Bible, even what seemed like small and insignificant details. All of God's word is significant. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that Jesus didn't say the law would never pass away, but said that it would not pass away till all was fulfilled. This statement is important because the relationship between us believers and the law can sometimes be misunderstood. So let's look at that for a few minutes. God gave the law to the Jewish nation through Moses, according to the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. The law was not given as a means of salvation. Romans 3, verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was given to show them their sinfulness. The same is said in Galatians 2, verse 16. There it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The law showed them their sinfulness in order to drive them to God for salvation. The law had attached to it the penalty of death. If anyone broke any law, that person was a lawbreaker, and so was guilty of breaking the law, which means all of the law. Since all people are sinners and lawbreakers, God sent his only begotten Son to deal with and correct that problem. Jesus, God in the flesh, fulfilled the law because he lived a perfect, sinless life. He did what no other could do. He was obedient to the last law down to the last jot and tittle. But the depth of sin, the debt, told you I was going to get it wrong, Irene. The debt, I can't read my own writing and it's typed. The debt of sin that the rest of us owed still needed to be paid. Jesus met the full demands of the law in his life and then fulfilled the strict requirements of our punishment in his death at Calvary on a Roman cross. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Thus, the gospel does not overthrow the law. It upholds the law and shows how the law's demands have been fully satisfied by Christ's redemptive work. The penalty of sin through the law must be paid, but only once. Jesus paid that penalty so we who believe do not have to. It's finished. Just like Jesus said in John 19, verse 30, while he was hanging from the cross. It is in this sense that the law has faded away for the Christian. Galatians 3, verse 24 says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Yet while we Christians are not under law, that doesn't mean we are lawless. We are under a stronger chain. We are bound by a stronger chain than the law because we are under the law of Christ. Our behavior is molded not by fear of punishment, but by the loving desire to please our Savior. Christ has become our rule of life. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So, are we believers supposed to obey the Ten Commandments? Well, yes, we are. Our basic laws in Canada come from the Ten Commandments, so we need to obey them because they are God's laws, and as such, they are good and just for all our conduct in all of our lives, whether we live here or anywhere else. But to us believers, they are not laws with punishment attached because the punishment has been paid by Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 142 says, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. For unbelievers, the law still stands. As long as someone rejects the wonderful salvation that Jesus accomplished at Calvary and never repents, that person will be judged according to the law of God. That person, while he lives, needs to see and understand his sin according to the law, turn to Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, pray and ask and receive salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The righteousness demanded by the law is fulfilled by those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4. The teachings of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount set a higher standard than the law. The law said, do not kill. Jesus said, do not even hate. So the Sermon on the Mount not only upholds the law and the prophets, but amplifies them and shows their deeper meaning. Let's go to verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus anticipated our natural tendency to relax God's commandments. People tend to explain them away or rationalize their meaning. Here Jesus commands us not to do that. Entrance into the kingdom is by faith in Christ Jesus. Our standing in the kingdom is determined by our obedience and faithfulness while we are here on earth. The person who obeys the laws of the kingdom and teaches them, that person shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees were content with religious ceremonies which gave them the appearance of righteousness, but didn't change their hearts. External righteousness will not do. The only righteousness that God will accept is the perfection that he imputes to us who accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Of course, where there is true faith in Jesus, there will also be practical righteousness, empowered by the Holy Spirit that Jesus describes in the rest of the sermon. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For me, he made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.